Welcome to the May 26th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6 and verse 10. And the sermon is entitled, To Be Humble is Great, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Let's grab your Bibles, go to the book of Matthew chapter number 18. And I just want to say this, I encourage you, if you don't bring a Bible on a regular basis, or maybe you don't necessarily tote one with you, maybe it's on your phone, I love one because I write in it, I circle, I make notes, and I encourage you today to take your Bibles with me as we go to Matthew chapter number 18. Now, when you hear that, Bible students, you should know this is a very important chapter in our life and in faith, because Matthew chapter 18 is where you can find so many instructions, especially when you deal with conflict, okay? Has anybody dealt with conflict this week? All right, read the rest of the chapter. That's your homework, okay? We're gonna start with the first six verses. We're gonna jump around to catch a couple more, but read Matthew chapter number 18 if you need to solve conflict. And that's what we think of in our mind. The law of forgiveness is given to us in this chapter, but it also the law of discipline is given as well. So it's a lot of good things in Matthew chapter number 18. And we are going to look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 18, and it starts with a question. Look at me real quick. I don't want you to get ahead of me, okay? Here is the question. Who is the greatest? And if I ask you that question today, maybe you would say this. It's depending on what you are talking about. It depends on what you ask, and then I will give you the answer. If I ask you today, who is the great baseball player of all time? Here's the reality. We would never agree. We would never agree who that was, right? You would have your opinion. I would have mine. We would have our definitions, and then we would argue about it. If I ask you today, who has the greatest mother? Don't be shy. Let's raise our hands. How many of us have great mom? And all of us think we have the greatest mom. And here's what I'm grateful for my mom, okay? I love my mom. But here's how I answer that question. I have the greatest mom that God gifted to me. It could have been any other woman in the world, and yet God chose my mother for me. I don't want no mama jokes there either from anybody, okay? I'm looking at my wife, okay? That's who I'm looking for. She knows I love my mama, right? How many of us would say we have the great children or a great wife? We would say, yes, we do. We have the most amazing people, and they are all gifts from God. And so today, as we think about the greatest, it's an instinct. It's a human instinct to desire to be great or have the greatest. Now, listen to me now as we get started today. It is many of our lives are spent trying to become are trying to achieve that which is great. And here's what I want you to understand. God does not call you to be the greatest. He calls you to be faithful and obedient and trustworthy. And from then, in those things, God will exalt us. And so today, if we have a heart that seeks to be the greatest in all that we do, we've got to be careful because we deal with an issue of pride, and that will destroy us. How many of you know that pride comes before the fall? You know it. And so I want you to see the struggle. As I warned you about, you were going to get some dessert today. I really don't have pie for you. I just have the Word of God. And so that's going to have to be sufficient today as we talk about the question, to be humble is great. And what does Jesus give us a picture of in humility? Let's look at Scripture. Matthew chapter number 18, starting with verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That begins our study, and that begins point number 1 this morning, and that is this. When we think about humility, you need to seek answers from the Lord. Point number 1 today is seek your answers from the Lord. The desire to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what we are introduced with. And I'm grateful that we have other gospel accounts when it comes to this, because Luke's gospel, Luke chapter number 9, verse number 46, says it was more than a discussion, it was an argument. How many of you know arguments can happen between good people that mean or have good purposes? And so there the disciples are having an argument, and their argument is this: which one of us is the greatest? Which one of us will be number one? Which one of us will have the best rank when we get to the kingdom of heaven? Who will be number one? And as they are having that argument between themselves, guess who comes along? Jesus overhears their question, or is asked that question. And as we understand that, we see this: Jesus has the answer. And Jesus' answer looks very different than an answer that they were anticipating, and one that we may anticipate as well. And so when we are looking for answers from Jesus, we say, Jesus, this is our question. This has to be our answer. What do you say? And then we get upset as believers when it's something totally different. And I'm going to give you that example from Scripture today. But we see the disciples, to their credit, they take the question to Jesus. I will give them credit there. But amongst them, there is tension and arguing and fussing of who wants to be the greatest. It doesn't matter what the answer to that question is. Here's what I want you to know. When you are desiring answers to questions, your first stop needs to be the Lord. And needs to be the Word of God. And it needs to be sought out in that order. It needs to be sought in truth. And we have to go to the source of truth, and that is Jesus. How many of you know that in a world where truth is marred and perverted, that Jesus is the source of truth? Amen? And knowing that, when we have questions, we must go to Him. I commend these disciples. Even though they were seeking out answers, that they went to Jesus. Now the story continues. Look at verse number 2 and 3. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are very strong words, my friends. Very strong words to the people that are closest to Jesus. And here is point number 2 today. Our thinking must change. Our thinking must change. In order to be humble, thinking must change. As the disciples are awaiting Jesus' response, now you have to understand my little mindset as I read this, okay? My very understanding mindset has the disciples waiting for one of them to hear their name. As they pose the question, and they're waiting for Jesus to answer, one of them is hoping, please let it be me. Because deep down inside, they all desired the greatness, or to be great, as they argued back and forth. And Jesus grabs a child and sits that child down in the midst of his closest friends, and the conversation changes completely, or does it? No, it doesn't. Just as they were hanging on, waiting for their name to be called, Jesus introduces a child into the conversation, thinking that their name or their title, or they couldn't wait to hear their name, I'm going to be number one, and the child shows up. I'm grateful for the Word of God. In verse number 3, Jesus says this, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. If you write in your Bibles, if you mark in your Bibles, you need to underline that word converted, because something has to change. And here's what he's telling the disciples. If you really want the answer to this question, something must change in your thinking. Something must change. You must be converted. Or the end of that verse says, you're not even going to come close. You're not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven, much less be number one. And these are hard words. These are people that love Jesus and spend their life with Jesus. Can I be honest with you? These are people just like you and I. And here's what Jesus says. If your thinking doesn't change, you're not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven, much less be concerned of who's number one. Children in Jesus' day are very different than children in our day. I don't know about you, but in my family, when we have meals and when we eat and we get together, we send the children first, get them out of the way. Because the cleanup crew comes in afterwards, okay? And we just have at it, but we make sure the children go first. But the children in Jesus' day were very different. They were much lower on the scale as they were viewed at the bottom of the scale. As they got into trouble and they were viewed as a hindrance, they always took and they never provided or gave back to society. They were more of a responsibility and an error. They just hushed them and rushed them out of the way. If you go into a third world country, you will probably still see this today. Children are not given that priority. But here I want you to see that Jesus introduces the child to the conversation. And later on in Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 13, you will see that as parents try to bring their children to Jesus, the disciples rebuke them for that. And Jesus then rebukes the disciples. So here's what I want you to know. When Jesus plops the child right down in the middle of the conversation, he's doing something that is very unpopular and out of the ordinary. They should have just shooed those children off and got them out of the way. But Jesus brings them to the conversation. And here is that stern warning. As you are jockeying among yourselves for status and position and the title of the greatest, this little child is what you must become. The thinking that they were the great and their desire for the position, they must be converted. And that word means that they needed to turn from the path that they were going and go a different direction and become like this little child. Now, I want to say this. Being good or having material things, none of that is necessarily bad things. But when it becomes your desire, you are entering a sinful situation. It's not a bad thing to have a good job and make money. That's not bad. But when that becomes your God, you better watch out. It's not bad being a disciple of Jesus, but when you want to be the best and number one, sin is in the picture. And so Jesus addresses that, but the attitude must change. They must become godlike. And the warning to the disciples is this: you better change or you don't even need to worry about entering the kingdom of heaven. Here is that slice of humble pie for the disciples. And I believe that it is needed in the believer's life today. It's not about you. I told you you were going to get dessert today, okay? It is not about you. I have used this illustration before, and I'm going to use it again. As I was a coach of my children's baseball team, I always reminded them, you do not play for the name on the back of the jersey. You play for the name on the front of the jersey. And if you have a problem with that, there is a place right there for you. Now, you may look at me and say, Jeffrey, that's hard. But here's what I want to look at my church and say, it's not about us. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the pianist. It's not about the youth pastor. It's not about the deacons. It's not about the board of directors. It's about Jesus. And if you come here for some other reason, here's what I want you to hear. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. These disciples were worried about where they would be in heaven, and there were people dying without the love of Jesus Christ. It's not who is the best singer or the best Sunday school class or the best teacher or the best pastor or the best deacon or the best volunteer or the best greeter. It is about Jesus, and that's why we do it all. And so today, here's what I want to tell my brothers and sisters. Our attitude must change as believers trying to win the world to Jesus, because it is not about us. As long as we are all here and we are all involved, Unity happens when eyes are taken off of self and put on Jesus. And that's what I want every person in this room to do today. Let's put our eyes on Jesus. Back to that little child. As he is introduced to the conversation, and that little child takes up the seat in the middle of the disciples, and he is in the center of detention, He's not in detention. He is in attention. Here's what must change our thinking. As this little child is pictured there in the center, there's something else that has to change, and I've mentioned it already, and that is our attitude. Look at verses 4 through 6. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I warned you, these are hard words today. And when we think about point number 3, our attitude changing, here's what we need to realize. As that child is set down, we must become like children that are dependent on our God. Just as that child depends on their mother and their father to provide everything, we must depend on the Lord to provide and meet all of our needs. It's not who is number one or can I be number one. It is Jesus, you are number one. And that's where the attitude changes. So not only does our mind and our thinking have to change, but Jesus uses in verse number 4, he uses the word humble. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says this, you must become humble. I just have to tell you, as I wrote out this sermon, in my mind, there are the arms of the Almighty God holding a little child, instructing the people that are closest to him, you need to be dependent just like this baby. This child is in my arms. He came to me. He did not cry. He trusts me. He doesn't know who I am. But here he is in my arms. You need to trust me. Here is the teaching of God. If you are or you desire to be great in the kingdom of God, you must become like the least or the little ones, that you can only do things because of our God. Humbleness, humbleness. It must work in every one of our lives as we desire to be that which Christ has created us to be. And little ones, as a little child, they didn't know who God was. They didn't know him fully. But here's what he did. That little child trusted Jesus. I wrote the word fully here. That child trusted Jesus fully. How many of us today trust Jesus for a moment or a season and then we back away? How many of us say out of our mouth we trust Jesus and our actions speak very differently? This little child didn't care who the greatest was, but in Jesus' arms, there he was. And that child loved unconditionally, and they weren't concerned with themselves or what he was. If you want to understand humbleness, take your 4 or 5 year old child, tell them to get ready to go somewhere, and you don't help them. And you watch what comes out of the bedroom. Because here's what happens. That child does not have a care in the world. They're not cared what other people think. They don't care what people say. All they know is that you said we are going and I want to go with you, so I know to go get ready. And if it's a baseball uniform coming to church, or if it's cowboy boots and a hat to go to the store, that child is trusting and desires to be where you are. Maybe, just maybe, we need to quit worrying about our Sunday best and trust God fully. There's another word that is used, is the word received. Look at verse number 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. We are called to love those who God sends our way. It is not that we are exalted in our position, but from a humble, meek position, we are to love those who are sent by God. I'm not talking age now. I'm talking spiritual maturity. And across this room and across watching live stream today, there are people that are varied in their spiritual maturity. There are some 50-year-old people in this room that are baby Christians, that are child-like Christians. And what are we to do with those? We are to receive them. What are we to do to the children? We are to receive them and teach them about the love of God. And here's what Jesus is telling his disciples. You are arguing among yourselves of who can be number one, and there are many that are missing out on the love of Jesus all around you. And just as that little child was received in the arm of Jesus, we are to receive those and grow them in Christ. There is a little phrase in verse number 5 that stood out to me, and I want to read verse number 5 again. And whoso shall receive one such little child, listen to these three words, in my name. If you do it for me, you are receiving me. How many are in our nursery this morning? I don't know. How many are downstairs? How many are in King Jesus Kids? I'm going to give you a rough estimate. Any Sunday morning, you can bet on 75 to 100 children that are downstairs being ministered to. But here's the reality of it. There are children in this group today, spiritually, that you need to grow and need to be received by the church, that we grow you and disciple you more. That's not a slam. I'm not insulting anybody. Your desire to grow should be met by the church's desire to receive you to grow. There is another word, and that word is in verse number 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, that word is offend, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. We think about offending. And offending is the complete opposite of receiving. So Jesus says, you need to receive people in my name. And in receiving, if you offend them or turn them away, guess what? The danger is around your neck. And church, I want you to look at me, because I want your attention here. This is a stern warning from a loving God. That as we take those people in, and it's not that you don't hurt anybody's feelings, that's not the idea. But in truth we receive, and in truth we teach. And the desire, if you cause one of these children to stumble, it is your neck that is in trouble. Because the millstone will be around you. I think of false teachers when I read this. I think of a denomination that I grew up in that is making changes to their ideology. That the millstone will be around many people's necks that we thought were biblical people and good leaders and kind people. And the warning to the disciples is this: you may not even make it to heaven, but you better not offend anyone. And listen to this, the next chapter, they shoo the children away. Our attitudes need to change, because if we sit in church as brother and sister better than you, we're in danger. It goes back to the heart issue. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about leading people to Jesus. As we think about that offense, any person that becomes a stumbling block to those that are young in years, or those that are young in their faith, they are in trouble. It is our job to take care of those that the Lord has entrusted to us, not to mislead them and not to misdirect them. And that is the warning to the disciples here. Real quick, jump to verse number 10. There's another word there. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Look at me real quick. Here's the warning. You better not despise children. Because Jesus says He loves them. You might be in a season in your life where children run you up the wall. But we better not despise those who are coming. Young in faith or young in years, do not despise them. And there is another warning in verse number 14. Look there real quick. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So real quick, let me sum this up. We humble ourselves, we receive them, we do not offend them. We must be careful that as we receive them, we're not offending, we're not despising, and that none of these little ones perish. Young in years and young in faith need to be received and taught the truth of God. Now listen to me. Next time you ask God a question, you better be ready for an answer that may look totally different than what you asked for. And you better be ready to receive that and accept that. And so, church, today, I've prayed for a lot of things that didn't go my way. I prayed for a lot of things that I thought was going my way, and then there was a sharp turn somewhere very soon. How many of us today, when looking at the Word of God, understands the Christian in this room? I'm talking to you right now, the Christian in this room. The greatest thing that you can take away from this message today is this: it is not about you. And I will tell you this from the pulpit. The moment it becomes about Jeffrey Campbell, I'm out of here for your sake. It will never be about me. If it's not about me, I don't anticipate it being about you either. We are here for Jesus. Let's worship. Let's adore. And let's look to Him and be obedient to where He leads us. Maybe you're here today and you have never taken that step of faith. Here's the warning in verse number 14 that the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, to die. He doesn't want them hurt, and He doesn't want them to die. Today, if you are here without faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to know this. The greatest thing that you can understand is this life is not about you. It's not about you looking funny or looking different or having to change. It's about the Lord Jesus allowing Him to move into your life. I was a teenage boy brought to tears, knowing that I needed Jesus Christ as Savior. And Jesus moved in. Again, it's not about me. Today, if you are here and you desire something greater, something more, I want to offer you this. If you've never accepted Him as your Savior, today He died on a cross for you. He went to that cross. He shed His blood. He died for your sin that He can forgive you and give you life eternal. Today, if you have never received Him, I invite you to come and humble yourself and say, "Yes, Jesus, it's not about me, but it's about the relationship I need with You." Brothers and sisters, today, out of all these sermons so far, this is the one that ate me alive and walked all over my toes. It is not about us. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, thank You for this day. And I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to preach Your Word. God, thank You for the truth that You desire each of us to come to You like children. Lord, today, maybe there's some children in this room that may have questions, that may be seeking or searching or looking. Maybe they've worked their whole life and it hadn't gotten where they needed to go. They hadn't received the answer they thought they needed. God, today, Lord, I pray that Christian people would bring their questions to a very holy and loving God. pray that adults would humble themselves and desire to be obedient to the Lord's leading. And I pray, Lord, that men and women and boys and girls will lay aside their best intentions for salvation and life eternal. Lord, today, as only you can, I pray that your Holy Spirit leads this time of invitation, that it draws us to that point that we must change our thinking and change our attitude and seek the answers that you have for us to trust you more each and every day. Lord, lead that sanctification process, I pray, and may it begin for some in this moment today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.